Guten Tag, everyone. Guten Tag, a gebenchte Chodesh, a gebenchte Woch, a gebenchte Chodesh, a gebenchte Jahr, even though we're in the middle of the Chodesh. So Chassidim were once sitting together, great, great, great Chassidim, and they were sitting together, one Matzah Shabbos, one Malava Malka. And as these Chassidim were sitting together, these were really, really, really elevated, special Yidden, Yerushamayim, Tzadikim, great, great, great men, and they were sitting together, probably in some Ukrainian village. I don't think they had pizza, but they had, you know, something that would get the people to come, whatever it was. Probably was a little bit of a good herring. Amongst the Chassidim, there was one guy, there was one Chassid, or one Chassid's wife, who really knew how to make a good herring. And it got the Chassidim to come, but whatever it was, the Chassidim was sitting together, and they were having Malava Malka. And in the course of it, they started, one person groaned and the other one krechtzed. And they started to share their what is hurting them in their hearts. And basically they came to the conclusion that they really, 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 really are not holding by anything. And they haven't done anything in their life worthwhile. And so their Fabrengen was going, and the Zohar talks about people that are called Mare de Chushbina, masters of accounting, masters of Cheshbon HaNefesh. So they came to this very strong frustration, and they realized that they really, really don't have any merit. And suddenly they realized, they said, you know what? Our only merit we have is that we are Chassidim, and we are Chassidim of Reb Nochum of Chernobyl. And he said, wow, we can be connected to such a tzaddik. We can be connected to such a Rebbe, to such a tzaddik. And that suddenly lifted their spirits, and it gave them some sense of meaning and some sense of importance. That they might not have any value at all, but they're makusher to a tzaddik amiti, to a real tzaddik. And it got them very excited. As they concluded Malava Malka, they decided, you know what? Mirdafen foren zum Rebbe. We need to go to the Rebbe. And they decided right then and there that they're getting onto the wagon. And foren zum Rebbe, this village must have not been too far from Chernobyl, but they couldn't wait till the morning. It wasn't like, you know, it must have been like, you know, 11, 12 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. Ukrainian middle of, you know, the middle of the night. And here they're going. They have to go because their only merit that gave them some feeling of life was the Chassidim of Reb Nochum of Chernobyl. And so they went and they travel and they come to Chernobyl. And at that time, Reb Nochum is sitting himself and he's making a Cheshbon HaNefesh. And he comes to a state where he feels totally, totally worthless with himself. And he feels like he's a total nobody and that he didn't do anything worthy in his life. And he's getting frustrated and frustrated with himself, as only tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, can really feel, as they were able to recognize and understand that utter nothingness. And he reaches such a state of feeling like, what's going to, like, and then he realizes, he says, you know, the only merit I have chassidim who are attached to me. There are people that connect themselves to me, and somehow they feel elevated by connecting themselves to me. And that's how he felt. And he suddenly had tremendous yearning for his chassidim, because they're the only ones who are giving him any meaning. And at that time, the wagon pulls up with the chassidim who are yearning for their Rebbe because they feel worthless without their Rebbe. And Reb Nochum felt, there's a story that Rabbi Yitzchak of Skver, a grandson of Reb Nochum of Chernobyl, said. And he said when the chassidim came into to his zeder, Reb Nochum, he said, you know what happened at that time? He showed with his hand. He said, what happened was, there was two dalids that came together. Dalid means the less lay megar meklum. You don't have anything of your own. The less dalid means the dal, poor. The less lay megar meklum, he doesn't have anything of his own, only that which he receives. And he said, and the Rebbe, Reb Nochum, felt less lay megar meklum. He doesn't have anything of his own. And the only ones who give him any worth are his chassidim. And the chassidim felt that they're nothing. The only thing that gives them worth is their chassidim of a Rebbe. And at that time, Rabbi Yitzchak of Skver said like this. He says, the two dalids came together, dalid and dalid, and he showed with his finger, and that makes a shlos mem. That makes a closed mem. And that's the closed mem. Everybody knows that the closed mem is only reserved for the end of a word. You only have a closed mem at the end of a word. There's one place in the entire Tanakh where there's a closed mem in the middle of a word, and the word lamar be hamisra, which is talking about the great power of Mashiach Tzedkenu, and that his governorship is going to be so great. So he said like this, when you have the two Dalits coming together, it creates the closed Mem, which in Chassidus it talks about all the time, that closed Mem represents a level where there's no Yenikas Achitzainim, there's no negative forces, nothing can get in. It portrays a state of perfect, protected state, a state of perfect holiness. So this is Malava Malka. Malava Malka is a time particularly to connect. First of all, to connect to each other, to unify. We go out of Shabbos. We started going out of Shabbos a little bit early now. And when it comes to Matzah Shabbos, sometimes it can be a time of melancholiness. A time when a Yid realizes that a week is coming and I have to leave Shabbos and I have to go into the week. And we need something to pick us up. We need something to pick us up. So what picks us up on Matzah Shabbos? Malava Malka, sitting together. But Be'ikar is Kashrus the Tzadikim. That's why on Matzah Shabbos, Chassidim always sat together and told stories of Tzadikim. Why Dafke tonight, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl? Why tonight, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl? There's so many Tzadikim, but why Reb Nachum? And I'll tell you where it came to me. Where it came to me was a couple of weeks, just about 2 weeks ago, maybe less, a week and a half ago. I was sitting in the morning, and I have lately a Psanu Seder in the morning. I have various different things that I learned before davening. And one of the things I try to do, I don't get it every day, but I try to have a set of Sfarim that speaks about Tzadikim. And it gives you, goes through like a series of all an amazing Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov that I never heard of. And it tells them about them and so on and so forth. So it gives me an upper. When I read about them, it gives me an upper in the morning. It's something that I need a boost. So I read about them. So I'm sitting over here and I'm reading. And that day turned out Reb Nachum of Chernobyl. And I'm reading all about Reb Nachum. Then I go to shul. And I was in Levi Yitzchak in the morning, davening Shachris. And afterwards I turned to someone and I said, oh, you know, today is Rachel Imenu's yard site. It was the 11th day of Cheshvan. It's Rachel Imenu's yard site. So he says to me, this is Eli Feiner. He says to me, oh, it's also Reb Nachum of Chernobyl's yard site. On the 11th of Cheshvan, I said, today is Reb Nachum's yard site? He said, yeah. I said, isn't that amazing? Out of all the tzaddikim that I was reading about today, it happened to be Reb Nachum of Chernobyl. I was very moved by what I read, and it elevated me. I said, wow. So that means that there's Epsinus Kashrus. And if I breathe today, I'm Nachum of Chernobyl. His yard site is in Chodesh Chesh, when the Taka was already. So, but the whole month, we'll try to designate every month to a tzaddik, to have Malava Malka, at least once a month. If this Baruch Hashem takes off, we can do it more than once a month. So that we have a lot of tzaddikim to cover and speak about and connect to. But Reb Nachum is very, very special. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Reb Yaakov Yosef of Pulna, said about Reb Nachum, about the holy Reb Nachum, he said, Reb Nachum, because another reason why you can talk Dafka, to start off with Reb Nachum of Chernobyl. He said like this, he said, there are tzaddikim that are exceptional in one particular thing. The tzaddik exceptional in this, and chesed, a tzaddik exceptional is Avos Yisrael. A tzaddik who is exceptional in his Yiras Hashem, in his Avos Hashem, in his Bittul, and so on, and his Anava, and his total humility. In other words, tzaddikim across the board, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, were like on a complete different scale. And but he said, Reb Nachum is very special, he said, because he excels, and he's a tzaddik in all the Midas, every single one. And therefore, he said, he's 10 tzaddikim wrapped in one. I guess 10 tzaddikim, he probably meant 10 related to the 10 spheres. He's perfect in every aspect, in every koich of a nefesh. Therefore, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl is 10 tzaddikim wrapped in one. Reb Nachum was born to a father, his name was Reb Tzvi. He was born in the year 1730, in the year Tav Tzaddik. This is... And he passed away in 1798 at the age of, I think, 67 or 68. Reb Nachum's father, Reb Tzvi, was a special big tzaddik. His grandfather was also called Reb Nachum. And according to some opinions, so it's an interesting thing, the Zayda of Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, this Reb Nachum, is sometimes referred to, or some say that he's Reb Adam Baal Shem, who the Baal Shem Tov was Mekabel from. And he gave him, he showed him certain ksavim and so on. It was Reb Adam Baal Shem. This was Reb Nachum's grandfather. Reb Nachum's father passed away when he was young, and he was raised by his uncle, whose also name was Nachum. So this uncle must have been born after his father passed away. That's what I deduce from this. In any case, he was known as a very big Eloi, a Gvaldik, he was a big thing, and the people wanted to take him for a son-in-law. There was a girl that he was supposed to marry. I mean, at least the person wanted to take him as an Edom. But his daughter didn't want. She didn't want, for whatever reason, she didn't want. But she had another sister. And the other sister was blind on one eye. And Rav Nachum said, okay, so if I don't marry that one, I'll marry the other sister. So he married the second sister. She was blind in one eye. Because he really wanted to be part of the family. By the way, the last name of the Chernobyl dynasty is Tversky. Tversky is the Chernobyl dynasty, which became one of the most prominent dynasties of Hasidim. And the reason why he was called Tversky, the story goes, is because it was during the time the Russian government decided at that time that everybody has to have a last name. And we know also the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, his name was chosen first as Bruchowitz, and then they changed it to Schneuri, and then it became Schneerson. So that those names, the names was a new thing, a last name. When they came to Rav Nachum, and they probably had the people going around to every home, making sure that everybody has a name, sign up. They came to him. He decided to call himself Tversky because he was deeply connected to the Yidden, to the Talmidim Baal Shem Tov, who went to Tiberias. And because they went to Tveria, like Rav Mendel of Vitebsker, his friends, Rav Avram Kalisker and the great Chassidim, so Rav Nachum was so yearning for Tveria, and he had such a excitement about the Tzaddikim that are in Tveria, that he decided to call himself Tversky, which is Tveria, which I never knew till today. Amazing thing that he called himself Tveria because of that. Rav Nachum, even though primarily he was a student of the holy Mizritch Magid, but initially he was first a student of the Baal Shem Tov. Rav Nachum of Chernobyl was the oldest Talmidim of the Magid, because he was already a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. But it's Mekubal that he was only by the Baal Shem Tov two times in his life. That's why in his Sefer, he quotes the Baal Shem Tov 28 times in his book Mo'ere Nayim, which is one of the fundamental books of Chassidus. But he only refers to him as Moiri, my teacher, two times. Because they say that Rav Nachum came to the Baal Shem Tov only two times that he was by him. When he came to the Baal Shem Tov, it's an interesting story. His wife, they were so, so poor. Bechlau Rav Nachum was a very poor man all his life. Even when he was a Rebbe of thousands of Chassidim, he would give all the money away for tzedakah, and Bechlal, he didn't have any value for money at all. And because of that, he shunned it. But when he was a young man, he was so poor, and he had one coat. And Rav Nachum wanted to go to the mikveh every night. In the middle of the night, he would go to the mikveh. But his wife was afraid that he would go alone, so she would accompany him to the mikveh. What happened was, obviously the mikveh was a cold, it was outside, that to go break the ice. So the way they worked it was like this. On the way going, she wore the coat. It was a pelt, you know, it was fur, whatever, it had something. She wore the coat on the way going. Then he went to the mikveh and he was freezing cold. So on the way back, he would wear the coat. Just the inyan of understanding. For every tzaddik, there was also a great rebbetzin. In any case, Rav Nachum then he had his enikel, Rabbi Yitzchak of Skver says his grandfather was so poor, he had one kapota, and it was all torn to the point that you can kind of see his body. And then he managed to put away a little bit money, and he got more like more of an honorable outer garment that he wore on top. When he came to the Baal Shem Tov the first time, the Baal Shem Tov told him, it was a Yom HaDepagra, it was a special day. And the Baal Shem Tov was very excited that Rav Nachum was coming. But initially when he walked in, the Baal Shem Tov turned and he said, young man, go wash. Go wash to the Suda. As again, they probably weren't having pizza, but they had a Suda. And the Baal Shem Tov said, go wash. So Rav Nachum was uncomfortable. Why? Because he felt uncomfortable sitting down with his, it was like a, It was more like a Rabbanish that finally what he got, and he was uncomfortable sitting in front of the Baal Shem Tov. But on the other hand, he couldn't take it off, because he would take it off, he would be wearing the ripped garment where his body is, like, he's not even covering. He was very uncomfortable. So he just kind of shied himself to the side. And the Baal Shem Tov called him a second time and said, "Younger man, Geva, go wash." So he had to go wash. What he did, he doesn't conclude. If he wore it, if he kept it on or not, I don't know. Now the Baal Shem Tov told his wife before Rav Nachum came that she should be very careful, because a ganav is coming. The ganav, a thief is coming. A ganav. So she was weary. But then when she saw who this is, she can tell. She had eyes, the wife of the Baal Shem Tov, she can see. And she said she couldn't understand why her husband was being weary, such a tzaddik, such a great man. So the Baal Shem Tov said, he's a ganav, because he wants to steal the entire Gan Eden and the entire Olam Haba just for himself. With all of his Maisim Toivim that he does, he's ganvening the Ganso Olam Haba from the entire world for himself. But you see, Reb Nachum, on the other hand, one time he used to collect money, he used to go around, he used to collect money for various different things, but he used to go around to different towns. He was a Magid, he would say Drashas, Chassidus, and he was very into spreading the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. And when he came to a town, he found out that there was no mikveh in the town, or there was a problem with the mikveh. So Reb Nachum immediately got to work to start collecting money to fix the mikveh or build a new mikveh. He was collecting, and he went and he found out there was a wealthy man, so he went to this wealthy person to ask him for funds for the mikveh. The person told him no. So Reb Nachum told him, "You know what? If you give me a certain amount of money, I'll give you in exchange my Olam Haba." And this person knew Reb Nachum was a tzaddik, a great man, so it was a deal. So he needed a couple of hundred ruble, and he gave the ruble to him. And Reb Nachum sold his Olam Haba. His close people that saw this said, "Rebbe, what'd you just do?" So he said, "Listen, what do I want? All I want is I want to be a chassid. I want to be a chassid." And David HaMelech says, to the Eibishter, the Gemara says, "Am I not a chassid that my hands are dirty, in which I'm trying from blood, whatever, which I'm trying to be mitar, I'm trying to purify a woman to her husband." So in other words, by creating this mikveh, he was saying, so it's not worthy for me to give, to be, all I want is to be a chassid, I don't need no olam haba, and a chassid. But then he added and he said, "Tell me, we say every day in davening, v'haftas Hashem alekecho b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecho, you should love God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, b'chol ma'idecha, which chazal say means, all your money." He says, how can a poor man like me, how can a pauper like me fulfill the mitzvah of giving away my money if I don't have any money? The only thing I have is Olam Haba. So I want to do, b'chaftash tem b'chol ma'idecha. So he gave away all of his Olam Haba for the mikveh. Why she's singing up something? So we know that Reb Nachum of Chernobyl's love to every Yid went beyond all, beyond. Reb Nachum writes that the Eibishter loves a Rasha Gomor. The Eibishter Hashem, God Almighty, loves even a wicked, someone who's utterly and completely wicked. The Eibishter loves every single Jew as if this is his only child. And therefore he says that even though it's not that Hashem doesn't know the faults that people have, God knows everything, of course he knows the faults, but he doesn't want to see any faults. He doesn't want to see any faults. Just like a parent doesn't want to see the fault of his children. Therefore he says an interesting idea. We know that when one of the effects of someone speaks Lashon Hara, which means says something negative on another person, is the punishment that comes for that is a nega. A nega is that change of color of skin. So Reb Nachum explains why, what's the connection for saying something negative about someone else? You get a nega. So Reb Nachum says an amazing thing. It says in the Zohar that there's nothing, or I think it says in Sefer Yetzirah, there's nothing higher than oneg, and there's nothing lower. Ein lamayla ma'oneg ve'ein lamata minega. Isn't possible to be anything higher than oneg, and there isn't possible for anything to be lower than nega. What does that mean? Oneg is pleasure. Nega means an affliction. We say, we call nega o machla from every affliction. So affliction is pain. Oneg is pleasure. So pain and pleasure are opposites. He says that the Eibishter has an infinite pleasure from every Jew. And even if the person sins, God doesn't see it. God doesn't want to see it. But what happens, chas v'shalom, if someone points out something, a flaw in someone else? And what happens is, then God has to notice that negativity of that person. And that causes the Eibishter to have, the Eibishter's oneg, God's pleasure that he has from that Jew has now been transformed into a nega, into pain. It causes an affliction that his child has this flaw. It's like a person goes to the department store or goes shopping and you find a dress or a suit that you really, really like, but you look at the price tag and it's way too much money. You can't afford to pay $600 for a suit. You're not going to do it. You really want it. And then you look around the store 1,000 times and you keep on coming back to that one, but you can't bring yourself to buy it. And finally, you see, you know, suddenly, there's a few of them there. And you look at one and you see it's discounted. It's $326. See, $326, you can afford it. It's the same suit. So what's going on? So you speak to a sales rep. You say, is this a mistake or something? He says, no. Over here, you see over here, there's a little pull. And there's a little tiny damage. You say, oh, big deal. That's why they're discounted. So you buy the suit and you're all excited. And you don't care about the flaw that it's there because you're wearing it. Then you go and you're wearing it by your brother's wedding, and you're all proud of the way you look and all you're walking around. And then someone comes over to you and goes like this, is this dirty or something? Yeah. Once that happens, forget it. You put that suit in the closet, you're never going to wear it again. Why? Because someone noticed it. So the Eibishter doesn't want to notice a flaw in any Jew, Nachum of Chernobyl says. And the Eibishter has oineg, he has this endless delight of every Jew. Someone comes and points out something negative on a person, it creates that the Eibishter's oineg and pleasure that Hashem has from that yid becomes a nega chas v'sholem in Hashem. And that nega shows up in the person who spoke it. Why? Because that person is also connected to God. Because he's also, so whatever is happening, you see how, what the Talmidim Baal Shem Tov did, they made the Jewish people so godly. They elevated us to such godliness, to such holiness. That the nega, because this person spoke the Lashon Hara, so he calls it, and because he's connected, so the nega that the Eibishter has, the pain that God has, shows up in this person. Reb Nochem used to go around from place to place, and used to, because of his love to with such a powerful love, he used to collect money to take Jews out of jail. Many Jews were thrown into prisons or jails because they didn't have money to pay the rents and so on and so forth. He was Isaac a lot in Pidyon Shavuyim, and one time because of his involvement, so on, he got into trouble and they threw him into jail. Reb Nochem himself was in jail, and it was no good. And he got a visitor, came to visit him. This woman appeared to him. She was dressed in silk clothing, and she looked very aristocratic. She came to Reb Nochem, and she said, "Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is Torah, and this is the reward." Meaning to say, someone who does a mitzvah and is so involved in the mitzvah ends up in what's his mitzvah? The mitzvah is to redeem people that are in jail. Will end up in being chas v'shalom in that situation. Doesn't make any sense. So that's what she asked him, and Reb Nochem answered to this woman, "Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is what it is. This is Torah, and this is its reward." So then later, Reb Zev Wolf of Zhytomyr, one of the great Hasidic masters, Talmidim of the Magid, explained the story. And he said, what's the dialogue? He says, the woman that came was none other than Sarah Yemenu. Sarah Yemenu came to visit Reb Nochem of Chernobyl when he was in jail. And she was bothered by the fact that her child, Reb Nochem, who's so involved in Pidyon Shvuyim, should end up in jail. And he said to her, what did he answer Reb Nochem? He said, now, for order for me to be able to work diligently to take people out of jail, I have to know what it means to sit in prison. So I have to feel it myself. So this is my reward. My reward for the mitzvah that I've done, that I can really feel what people that are sitting in jail feel like, so that I can really do it with more excitement and with more diligence to be able to help the Yidden now. This was a little bit of Reb Nochem. Now, Reb Nochem's Yiras Shamayim and his fear of God and his refinement, we know in Chassidus and Chabad, in the Nayoyim Yoyim, it's brought, the Friedrich Rebbe writes that his father, the Rebbe Rashab, says in a maimer that Reb Nochum of Chernobyl was heavy. He was heavy because physically, because it's not because he ate a lot of food. He was heavy because he had such pleasure in Omen Yehesh Me Rabba. When he said Omen Yehesh Me Rabba, it gave him such delight and such pleasure, and that made him fat physically, because fat comes from Tainuk. And Reb Nochum had such Tainuk from Omen Yehesh Me Rabba. And it's a story told like this. Reb Nochum was once Shabbos by the father of Reb Moshe Tzvi of Savron. We heard about the Savroner the other time. So Reb Nochum was once staying by the father of Reb Moshe Tzvi of Savron. And he was there for Shabbos. And for Friday night, before Shabbos, they lit him a candle, a big candle, which would burn all night long. He went to sleep, whatever. And then he woke up, like midnight, and he wanted to go to the mikveh and then whatever. And some of the family members of this household, they were still awake, and they were watching. And they see the way Reb Nochum is walking in the room, and he's walking in the dark, and he's like, he's looking like he's blind. And they're getting very worried. And one place I read the story that he actually banged his head into something. And he's walking, and they can't understand. Because it's not dark, the room is light. They figure, what's going on? And then Reb Nochum turns to them, and he notices that there's someone there, and he says, what happened? What happened with the light? Why didn't they light any lights here? Why is it so dark? So they said, what do you mean? There's a light burning over here. The candle is burning. It's light. So he said, no. So then they investigated what happened. What happened was that the candle went out, and the Gentile that was cleaning the house, that was in charge, saw that the lamp went out. So he went and he rekindled it. Now when a Gentile does a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, and he doesn't do it for himself, but he does it for the Yid, then you're not really supposed to have any benefit from it. You're not supposed to use it. And Reb Nochum didn't even know, but the fact that the Gentile created the light on Shabbos, literally, he did not see that light. He was in the dark. He was feeling around in the dark. The light did not exist for him because of the same. They tell the same similar story that they once brought him milk you have to buy milk is Chalav Yisrael, which means that Yid has to be, or at least overseeing the milking of the cow. And over here, they brought him milk that the Yid didn't, that it wasn't overseen by. And he sat and he didn't touch the milk. And the Gabbai didn't know, by mistake they brought it. And a while later, they came running in to say, stop, don't drink the milk. This was not a kosher milk that was brought in over here. And then they realized he didn't drink it. So that's why did you drink it? He said, what milk? They said, there's milk on the table. Every day they would give him a glass of milk. He said, what milk? So he said that the Gemara says that if you have milk, shechovoyakum, that a non-Jew was the one who milked it, ve'en yisrael re'eyu, and a Yid is not watching what's happening. So the simple meaning is, if a Jew is not observing it, not watching over it. But Reb Nochum said, if it's chelev shechol v'yakum, ve'en yisrael re'eyu, the Jew doesn't see it. It doesn't exist for him. What is not kosher doesn't exist in his world. When he was a young man, and he was a great tzaddik, and he was a great Kabbalist, and his soul was yearning for knowledge and so forth. One day he received a visitor, an old man looking like a very, very, very special person, came to visit him. And conversation, he realized that this person is like a very exalted human being. And this person told Reb Nochum that he wants to teach him a lot of teachings, and he wants to open him up, to teach him Zohar and all kinds of the writings of Arizal and deep, deep mystical teachings. He wants to teach him all the Seidus of the Torah. And Reb Nochum told him no. And he said, Reb Nochum was like pushing him away, and the person kept on pestering him. Please let me teach you. I'll open you up. Such thing. Let me teach you. And Reb Nochum said, I first have to ask my Rebbe. I have to ask my teacher. So after a while, this was going on. And Reb Nochum left and he went to the Magid, to the Holy Mizritcha Magid. When he came to the Magid said to him, oh, Baruch Hashem, you were saved. That this person who came to teach you, this is from the other side, from the sides of impurity. But how did you know? How did you resist the temptation? I know how much you love, how much you want, and it was so deceiving. How did you resist the temptation? And Nachum said, when I was a little boy, I was in the kitchen, and my mother had made a pot with a little bit of food, whatever it was. And it smelled really delicious. And I went over and I took for myself. And my mother came behind me and she patched me. And I said, like, why? And she said, Alein nentmenisht, which means you don't take by yourself. Alein nentmenisht. And this lesson that Alein nentmenisht, you don't take on your own, stayed with him all his life. That even though someone is offering, you don't take. First, you have to ask permission. So he has a Rebbe. So he went to Mizritcha Magid to ask. And then he was saved from this Indian. His friend, his very, very dear friend, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Holy Balatanya, was very, very, very close. The Alter Rebbe said, there are three people that I love, avas nefesh, that I love them, love of my life, my entire soul. One was Reb Zusha of Anapoli. The other one was Reb Yudah Leib HaKoyin, another great tzaddik, gave an askama on the Tanya. And the third one is Reb Nochum of Chernobyl. It makes sense to say that probably had Reb Nochum been alive when the Alter Rebbe printed the Tanya, based that the other two are giving the askama in Tanya, that he could have sent it to Reb Nochum to get askama as well, but Reb Nochum passed away already in the year Tavkuf Nun Ches. I think it's before the Tanya's publication. But in any case, they were very, very, very close, and they loved each other very much. One time when the Alter Rebbe was sitting by the Magid amongst the Chevraya Kaddisha, amongst his old friends, the Alter Rebbe started shaking and shaking and shivering. And they asked the Alter Rebbe, like his other friends asked him, why are you shivering? And he pointed to Reb Nochum. In other words, that there was such a... And they said to him, but he's not sitting next to you. He's off over there. He said, Reb Nochum's energy and his light is so powerful that he can be over there and I can shiver over here. So there was a very strong, deep respect and understanding. Actually, Reb Nochum once needed help. As mentioned, during his life, he was a very, very poor man. And even after he had a lot of chassidim, there's an amazing story that told, but the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe writes a story. But Reb Nochum, it was very rarely that we get a chance to enter into the minds and see the thought process of big tzaddikim. This is a story that gives you an incredible insight into the processing of the way a tzaddik gets to experience life. It's in a whole different zone, the whole way they perceive, the way their minds work. So he tells a story like this. Reb Nochum was very, very poor, and most of the money would give away to tzedakah and so on. And when chassidim were also poor chassidim, he didn't have the wealthy chassidim, people would come. One time a yid came to Chernobyl. Reb Nochum was sitting and taking people in for yechidus, for private audiences. And this was a wealthy man, and he came and he dropped 300 ruble, which was in shtaris, meaning paper money, 300 ruble, which was worth 100 silver ruble, a lot of money. And the masharis, the gabbai, saw the money. He got very happy because the family was in such debt. They've already used up all the credit from the bakery, from the fish store, from the butcher. Mamash, and they were like over their heads. And now the people didn't even want to give anymore because you couldn't just keep on building that bill. So they decided, Reb Nochum decided that, that now he got very excited, the gabbai, because he saw there were 300 ruble. And since he saw 300 ruble, he said, at least they can knock off some of the debt. So now they'll extend credit again to the family. So now what happens is, meanwhile, Reb Nochum continues taking more people for the yechidus afterwards. He's taking more people are coming. Then Tul Ma'ariv. Then they daven Ma'ariv. And Reb Nochum, after Ma'ariv, locked himself in his room for like a half an hour. Then he opened up the door and he asked they should call one of his chassidim. They should call him back into the room. Came into the room. One of the person who saw him that day, who came to visit him. He asked him to come back. And he was there and then he left. And then he continued seeing other people until like midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. Finally, the line wasn't, there was everybody left and he was alone. So now the gabbai comes in, the attendant, and he's coming to take the money. So he says, where's the cash? So he opens up the door. Reb Nochum shows him, open the drawer. He opens the drawer and there's a bunch of little coins. There's this coin, that coin, that coin. There's three gold coins. But he's scouring around and he's looking for the 300 bills. And he's looking, I can't see it. So he counts up the money and he sees there's less than 100, a certain amount of money, which is less than 100 ruble of the paper money. So, which means not too much. So Reb Nachum says, here, take Baruch. And Reb Nachum says, Baruch Hashem, the Eibush has given Parnasa that we should be able to, you know, Hashem was kind to me. So he says, anybody so bothered what happened with the other money? But it's past him. He can't ask the Rebbe, what, like, where is the money? But he was, but he had a lot of pain. And Reb Nachum could look at him and he can see in his face that he's bothered by what happened. So Reb Nachum says to him, what's wrong? He says, Rebbe, but there was someone who came here and he gave you a large donation. And the Rebbetzin was already so happy, we were so excited that we'll be able to pay up the debt. And now you'll be able to remove your credit, to pay down the credit, the debt, so you'll be able to get more credit again. So Reb Nachum looks at her, at him, and Reb Nachum says, let me tell you what happened. You see, when the Yid came to me and he gave me the 300 ruble, immediately I became very besimcha. And I said, Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter did such a kindness to me. And he sent me such parnasa barchava. Now I have. I can live like a mensch. I was very, very happy. But then the thought occurred to me, and he said, "Oi, if the Eibishter sent me gashmias, it must be that on the account of this physical material blessing, it must be on the cheshbon of some spiritual bracha that I was supposed to get. And now I'm not getting that, so it hurt me. I was in pain." Then a few minutes, a while later, one of the people came in to me, was a poor Jew, and he poured out his heart to me that he has a Malamed who teaches his children, a Rebbe for his children, and this Malamed was teaching his children, didn't get paid for a very long time. But because the Malamed is such a nice person, he's giving me more and more time. Meanwhile, it's building up, I'm embarrassed. I haven't paid this Rebbe. And I can't take advantage of him anymore. And I have to pay him. In addition to that, for 7-8 months, I didn't pay rent on the mill that he takes, and they're gonna take it away from me. They're gonna fire, and me and my family are gonna be out on the street. And thirdly, my daughter got engaged recently, and I don't have any money for the wedding. So Reb Nachum is listening, and Reb Nachum says, "And how much do you need?" And he told me, "Reb Nachum, what he needs, and the 300 ruble would be perfect. It would kind of take care of the problem." So then I thought to myself, oh, maybe the Eibishter gave me the money. What kind of schus would I, that the Eibishter give me the money for any other reason? The Eibishter gave me the money to be a gabbai tzedakah, so I can give the money to this yid. So I got very excited. And I said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. But as I was thinking, I had that thought, immediately another thought crossed my mind. And the other thought was, why should I give the money to this one person? 300 rubles is a lot of money to give to one person. Maybe I should take the money and divide it, because I can feed 6 families with this money. 6 mishpachas I can take care of. And so why should I give it all to one person? That was my thought. And then I couldn't figure out which is the correct thought, which one is coming from the Yetzer Tov, which one, because they both seem to be very valid arguments. To give this person is needy. The other people, I can feed 6 people. Who should I give it? So I locked myself in the room. And to really think this through and to figure out where these voices are coming from. But then it occurred to me, if this thought that I should give it to 6 different families was coming from the Yetzer Tov, how come it didn't come to me immediately when the guy dropped me the cash? How come immediately didn't I have that thought to go, oh, now I have money for 6 people, for 6 families? I should have thought then, you know, Nachum, divide the money into 6 groups, take one for yourself, and feed another 5 families. I should have had that thought immediately. But it didn't come to me then. When did it come? After I, Baruch Hashem, had the excitement to do a mitzvah and give the money to this poor man, then it came to me to tell me, nah, maybe you should give the money to 6 different people. Why? Obviously. Because the Kalugik of the Yetzer Hara says, if you don't give it immediately, you'll have it in your pocket. You'll have it here for a while. You know, maybe you'll need just in case. Whatever, whatever. That's what he realized. So the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe says, this is called an amazing thing. It's called Havchana Sichlis. Havchana Sichlis is a person needs to be able to have that Havchana, to be able to sensitive in his mind, to be able to know where your thoughts are coming from. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara has such fat, he's so deceptive, and he has such abilities to be able to come to us in different ways to make himself look like he's honest and righteous and so forth, but it's really coming from the Klipa. Now, it's interesting. The people used to come to Reb Nachum. He was a very big Poel Yeshuas. He was a very, very big... his Einikel, Rabbi Yitzchak of Skver, says that when the Maggid passed away, when the Holy Mezritcha Maggid passed away, his students asked the Maggid, who should be the Manig after the Maggid passes away? Who should be the next leader? And the Maggid answered them that the person who is able to, who does a toiva, who helps out both the living and the dead, that should be your next leader. To be the next Rebbe. So after the Maggid passed away, they were looking amongst themselves, the Chavraya, Kaddish, this and that, and they realized that the one who is doing a favor both for the living and for the dead is Reb Nachum. So we know actually the story after the Maggid passed away was that Reb Nachum Mendel of Vitebsk, Reb Nachum Mendel Haradukar, was the one who took over for the Polish, for the Russian Chassidim, and Reb Melech of Lizenz became the Rebbe for the Polish Chassidim. So there was a breakup kind of into two. But this is the way he relates the story, is that the Talmidim said that Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, he's the one who fits the criteria that the Maggid said. But there was one student that didn't want. And they wrote, because of that, the Sparda HaChavila. And because of that, without that, it would have been, he said, it would have been, Chassidus would have continued with one Rebbe, whichever it would have been, but it would have been one Rebbe. But now, by the way, an interesting thing is that the Maggid, I mentioned earlier, the Maggid, the Mezritcha Maggid said that the Moshiach Tzedkenu is going to come from his oldest Talmud or from his youngest Talmud, one of the two. And therefore, it's interesting that in the youngest Talmud was the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Liad. His oldest student was Reb Nachum. And there was a desire between these two Talmidim that they should be Meshadach themselves. So Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the Mittler Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe's Dirishidach, his daughter married the son of the of Ramatul of Chernobyl. Which is they did a shidduch, and through that there is some of the lines. But in any case, Rabbi Yaakov Yisroel of Charkis, who's the son-in-law of the Mittler Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Yisroel of Chukasa, who's a son of the Ramatul of Chernobyl, relates and speaks about the chassidim of his grandfather, what kind of Bali Maila they were, what kind of tzaddikim they were. He says he remembers. He says, I didn't know a lot of them, but I know two of them. He says, two Talmidim of Reb Nachum. He says, two of the Chassidim that I knew personally. He said, both of them were named Rabbi Yirmiya. One was called Rabbi Yirmiya the Groyser, and the other one was called Rabbi Yirmiya the Kleiner. There was the small Rabbi Yirmiya, and there was the great Rabbi Yirmiya. He says like this, the first Rabbi Yirmiya, it says the same thing like it says about Yaakov Avinu. Shaloi gro, carry me yamav. That's what it says. But again, this is the small Rabbi Yirmiya. He was a very, very holy Jew. The second Rabbi Yirmiya, God, let me tell you what happened. One time, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl was davening for the Yom at Shachris, and in the midst of when he got to the parsha of Tzitzis, and he took his Tzitzis, and he took it into his hands, he turned around, and he walked right over. And he had a Tzitzis in his hand when he got to Tzitzis, whatever. He walked over to this Rabbi Yirmiya. And he grabbed his tefillin off his head, and he walked back to his place holding his tefillin. And he held it throughout Shemayin Esrei, and everybody was a pella. What is it, Reb Nachum doing in the middle of Shemayin Esrei, grabbing someone's tefillin off his head? So afterwards, Reb Nachum said that his student, this Rabbi Yirmiya or whatever, had he not grabbed that tefillin off his head at that moment, he would have been burnt. He literally would have burnt Meroiv Kedusha that he was holding by at that moment. So in order to protect him from being electrocuted kind of by the intense holiness, he was there as a fire extinguisher to pull the tefillin off. So these were the chassidim that hung around, these big, big, big tzaddikim. They were on a complete different level. Reb Nachum once said, is a beautiful thing. Reb Nachum said that I am like a peddler. And a peddler has got like all the wares. He has everything. You know, you need a toothbrush, come to the peddler. We don't have those peddlers today, but there used to be a guy that you knew. He's a guy that has a box. Amazon, Amazon is really only they are as a peddler. That's what it is. See, the peddler ultimately became the wealthiest peddler. What's his name? Bezos? Is the ultimate peddler. But in any case, the peddler, whatever you need a toothbrush, got the toothbrush, you need a sewing pin, a sewing kit, you got the sewing kit. You need whatever. You need a nail clipper, you got the nail clipper, you had to buy different perfumes and so on. He's got everything. So he says, I have everything. He says, people want to come to me. I can be a poiket akaris. I can give people that barren women that don't have any children, they should have children. I can be a roif chaylem. I can heal those that are sick. I can take care. It says I can stop wars. I can start wars. And he goes on and on and on and all the things. And I can make yidden do tshuva. He says he's going to think that how am I that I'm saying that about myself? What kind of arrogance is this that I'm saying this about myself? He says, but you know what? It's a befedish apostle in the Torah. In the Torah it says that when they went to war, there was a man, the Kohen would get up, and the Kohen would say, anybody that got married this year should go home. Anybody that planted a vineyard should go home. Anybody that built a new house, yelech v'yad beis. Then he would say, anybody that's scared because of the sins, because he's scared that he might have sinned, and as a result of that, he's afraid to go into battle because of the sins that he's done, should go home. So the Gemara says, the only reason they announced that everybody else should go home is so that a person who sinned shouldn't be embarrassed to leave the battlefield, because they should be able to cover up, and he give him an alibi, that the reason he's leaving the battlefield is because maybe he got married that year, or maybe he built a house. So Rav Nochum says, my real job is to cleanse souls. People that sin, people that this, come to me and I'll fix, and I'm going to repair the neshama. I'm going to elevate the person. But in order for me to be able to do that, and people shouldn't be uncomfortable coming to the tzaddik, because people should think, this guy must have sinned something really bad. So he's running to the tzaddik to heal him. So I give everybody an alibi, so you can come to me for all kinds of things. It's like a peddler, so that I can take care of everybody's other problems. But my real inyan is to be a reif and a fascist. And really, we should realize that when we talk about a tzaddik and a rebbe and skashas to tzaddikim, we gain and we benefit lots of things in our material lives, but the true inyan of a tzaddik is to connect your neshama to atzmus samahus, to the essence of the Eibishter himself. You know, it's interesting, Rav Nochum and his teaching is the one, he's from here. From him we have this amazing teaching that every single person has a spark of Mashiach inside his neshama. It's in Sefer Mo'ir Anayim. It's a common thought that people say it all over, but really, where is it? The source of it is in Sefer Mo'ir Anayim, in which he says that the pasuk says, Darach koichav mi Yaakov. There's a pasuk that says that a star will rise forth from Yaakov. And there's two opinions in the Gemara what it's referring to. And in one place, it's referring to Mashiach. Mashiach is the great star that's going to rise from Yaakov. But then the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, Darach koichav mi Yaakov, Gemara dashes it in a story that happened with a regular Jew. So Rav Nochum says, how can you have one pasuk speaking about the greatest human being ever to live, and another one interpretation, and the same pasuk speaking about a yet irregular yid, an every average Jew? So Rav Nochum said, because the secret of Mashiach is the inner deepest spark in every single yid. The Yechidah Sheben Nefesh is the Mashiach in your soul. And when every Jew can spark their own Mashiach, their own Yechidah Sheben Nefesh, so that will create Yechidah Sheben Nefesh of Mashiach Tzidkenu to be revealed in the world. So this is our inyan, to realize that through the tzaddikim and through chassidus and so on and so forth, we can dig deep, 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 deep into the deepest recesses of our soul to reveal and uncover the spark, the nekudah of Mashiach that's buried in our hearts and in our souls. So tzaddikim, I'll say one small little thing here before we do that. So tzaddikim, they have interesting urges that we don't really can really relate to, you know. When was the last time you had an urge that you wanted to just be moser nefesh yourself for the Jewish people? So when Rav Nochum was in jail, Rav Shloimeh of Karlin came to visit him. Rav Shloimeh Karliner came to visit Rav Nochum. And the reason he came to visit him, besides coming to visit him, because he should visit someone, how they let him go visit him, that's another story. I don't know the jails those days, but I would imagine it would. But in any case, Rav Shloimeh Karlin came to visit him. The reason he came particularly because he sensed that Rav Nochum has an urge to give his life up al kiddush Hashem for the sake of the Jewish people. So he came to him to talk him out of it. So Rav Nochum said to him, "How'd you know? How'd you know? How'd you know? I thought I kept it secret from every malach and saraf." In other words, you're right, I had the thing, but I kept it private, that all angels and serpents and this, what are they called? Saraf, yeah. that no one should know about it. So Reb Shloimeh Kalina said, yeah, you can keep it hidden from Malachim and Serafim, but Shloimeh ben Yuta knows. You can't hide from Shloimeh ben Yuta, that was his name. But when Shloimeh ben Yuta is going to decide to be Moisa Nefesh, no one in the world, not one Nivra, not one created being is going to know. And we all know that Reb Shloimeh Kalina was davening Musaf and he was saying Keser. And while he was saying Keser, a Kazakh came riding by and shot him. In the middle of Keser, Nebuchadnezzar Reb Shloimeh of Kalin passed away then. But this was, these were tzaddikim. They were a whole different caliber and a whole different level. So the one who actually printed Rebbe Eliyahu, the student of Reb Nochum, who printed the Sefer Ma'or Enayim, he was a very great Rav, great Talmud Chacham, a Goyen, and a very big Yerushamayim. And he heard that many people were flocking to Reb Nochum, and he wasn't a chassid. And it bothered him that, like, you know, what's this Rebbele? What's this union of a Rebbele that people are going, a Rebbe, like people are so this? Like, what's so special about him? But because he was such a sincere person, he decided that he's not going to ask people from a distance, he's going to check it out with his own eyes. So he came one time, and Reb Nochum of Chernobyl was on a wagon, and with his chassidim, they were going to go to a certain village because they were doing matzah, they were going to get the wheat for shmura matzah. So he joined them in the wagon ride. And the chassidim were in a happy mood, they had some l'chaim. And in the course of this, they started throwing hats at each other. They started, you know. And he's a serious Talmud Chacham. And he says, this Reb Nochum, I don't know, he's hanging out with these lunatics, with these hooligans in the middle of the road, that throwing hats at each other, he doesn't get it. So he's thinking to himself, you know, okay, you know, I but maybe this is the way he acts because he's in public, so he wants to hide his tzitzkes. So in public, he just hangs around with these regular. But if I watch him privately, then I'll see who he really is and I'll understand why everybody's running after him. So his thought came to him, I want to watch him when he's eating, because I'm sure when he eats alone, and I'll get to see. So when he came to the place, the inn, he had his own room, and the guy gave him, the charge there, the innkeeper gave him to eat. And he gave him, I forgot what he called it, varinchkis, something like that. Can't figure what it is. And he says, Reb Nochum had two varinchkis in his mouth. And he says, the I don't know if it was cheese or something, was coming down oil on his beard on both sides. So he's thinking, you know, even a half-decent person is not eating two pizzas like this at the one time. So this was really, really, really bothering him. He said, this is a bottom. So, but because he was such a sincere person, he went off to the side. This is what he did. He went off to the side and he said, Rebbe Nishalel, if all there is what I see, if what I see is that's what it is, then I don't need anything else. Then I know already. But if there's a secret over here, please open my eyes to be able to see the secret. And he turned around and he looked at Reb Nochum, and suddenly there were no more halamis vesterim, there were no more concealments, and he's able to see the tzaddik for what the tzaddik is. At that time, he wrote a kvittel, he wrote a tzettel to Reb Nochum, and he asked him for a bracha that he should be able to get rid of his negative thoughts. He had, you know, he's plagued by thoughts, all kinds of, you know, not necessarily the holiest of thoughts, which we know, you know, they actually, it says the bigger the Talmud Chacham, the bigger this, people, the Yetzirah goes after. So he says, Rebbe, please help me get rid of Machshav Azaris. Reb Nochum turned to him, and Reb Nochum said a certain phrase that the Gemara says about the Tivus of this world, which we're not going to get into right now, but Reb Nochum pointed to him, actually it's quoted in Tanya too. So he quoted to him a certain thing. He says, doesn't the Gemara say so and so? And when this person heard that coming out of Reb Nochum, even though he knew the Gemara 100 times, he started vomiting and vomiting. Reb Nochum put into him such an echo, such a disgust to the physical delights of the world that are not for a higher purpose, that are not for something godly. And it remained a big, big chassid. Now this yid, when he came to Reb Nochum, he was already after what's called Tshuvas Hakaneh. Tshuvas Hakaneh is like the highest tshuva that is given in Svarim that talks about deep mortifications that you do for your sins. So you're not talking about, you know, people that have already done and gone through everything humanly possible. They came to a Rebbe to open them up to godliness. Now, the Rebbe took them to a whole different level, not stam to purifications that are humanly capable. A Rebbe picked them up to the flow of the divine, which these tzaddikim were connected to. And this Rebbe Eliyahu was the one later who printed the Sefer Ma'ir Anayim. When he brought the writings to the Chernobler, the Sefer, to look over, Reb Nachum made sure to take out from the book everything that he remembered that he said. Everything that he remembered that he said, he took out from the book. He said he only wants the Torahs that he doesn't remember that he said them, because those Torahs that he doesn't remember that he said, that's when the Shechina, the divine thing, was medaberes metoch groinei, was speaking through him, that it wasn't him talking. It wasn't. So the Holy Lublin, the Chayza of Lublin, said that he sees, it says, the three svarim that he has the most, that he sees the most in, from all the svarim that they are, he says, is the Zohar, the Arachayim HaKadosh, and Sefer Ma'ir Einayim. Ma'ir Einayim is Machlichtik Teyagin. Very, very special. L'chaim. I want to give a special L'chaim. It's a moment of tzaddikim, a moment of brachas. I want to give a bracha for the Fur Shalema, for bracha Bas Lynette. Should have a complete and total Refuah Shalema. And it's and all others that need, put that a phone. I forgot to announce earlier, but everything is at its right moment, at its right time. Anybody that wants to be mishtatif and connect, and get a big bracha, I'm sure, of Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, who's been here for sure tonight, because we're spending time connecting to him. Anybody that wants to be mishtatif and be a sponsor, a partial sponsor for tonight, that'd be really good. We don't have any so far. It'd be a big bracha. And so that we can continue having many of these events and for honoring other tzaddikim, and hopefully we'll be with the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, Be'ezus Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. So Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, when he came to Mizrich, he was once, he stayed here for a couple of months, and he was separated from everything in this world. He was so holy, so godly. And the holy Imam Mizrich HaMagid called him in, and the Mizrich HaMagid said to him, "I want you to go home. It's time for you to go home." "Why?" He said, "There is a holy, holy neshama in the works, waiting to come down in the world. And maybe if you go home now, you're going to be merited. You're going to be the one who's going to be mamshach this neshama." Imagine you have a Rebbe who can tell you these things. Now's the time. Plug in. The neshama coming down. So Reb Nachum went home. And on the way home, he decided to make a little detour and stop in Reb Pinchas of Koritz. Because he said maybe Reb Pinchas of Koritz is going to help him be mamshech this neshama. He got the information from the Magid. Now he needs to get it. He needs to get some assistance. So he goes down to Koritz, to the Pinchas of Koritz, to get Reb Pinchas of Koritz to help him land that soul. So when he tells Reb Pinchas of Koritz, there's a great neshama coming down, and I want, the Magid told me. So he says, "Come with me to the Magid." From the Chakasa,
the Rebbetzin Rivka, the Rebbe Marash's wife, is also an Einikel. So they were from different lines, but they were both Einikels from this union of Chernobyl and Chabad that came together. But in any case, to continue the idea of selecting neshama, it's a very beautiful story. When the holy Mizrich HaMagid passed away, Rabbi Avraham HaMalach, he had one son, the Malach. And the Malach was an Ish Kaddish Neidavot Ma'od. He was a frightening human being. He was holy. He was like beyond. And the reason they didn't select him as a Rebbe, because he couldn't have relationships. He couldn't have a connection to people. He was just so, he was inaccessible. Reb Nachum of Chernobyl tried to get him a job for the Malach. And he found him that he should come to the city of Fastiv and he should become a Magid in Fastiv. So he got the people of Fastiv. He told them that, you know, you can have this big tzaddik come. So he moved from Anapoli. That's where the Magid lived with his family. That's the Magid is buried in Anapoli. And the Malach moved from there, and he left his wife and children, but himself, he came to Fastiv. Problem is that he sat secluded in his room all day long, and no one got to see him. Meanwhile, they had paid for his bed, brought him over there, you know, and they didn't get to see him. So what kind of Magid was he? He wasn't having it. So they came to complain to Reb Nochem that you told us to take this person, but no one has any, he doesn't have any relationship to anybody. He's secluded, nothing. So he says, leave it up to me, I'll take care of it. So a while later, he had a bris of one of his mekusharim, someone that was connected to him, in the city of Fastiv. The city, Fastiv is a hick town. We were just there. It was, I don't know, the last time we went. From all the places we went, that's like old. In any case, Reb Malach moved to... So Reb Nochem came for the bris. And he said, and he told the father of the bris, let's be mechabed. The Malach would sandikoyes. And Reb Nochem would be the moil, and he would be the sandik. Okay. He agreed to be the sandik. When he came to shul, it's the first time the Malach came. When the Malach came to shul, he was walking with his head down. And when he sat down and he looked up, it cast such a dread and such a fear on all the people that were there that everybody who came to the bris ran away. There was no one in the room. Reb Nochem himself started shaking like a leaf, and he dropped the knife. Finally, he was able to pick up the knife at the pointy edge, and he managed to do the bris milah. And after the bris, he said, he turned to the Magid, and he said, "Vinep, move to the Malach. Where do you take such fear?" And the Malach said, "How can you not fear?" And then Reb Nochem went back home, and then he said that he, because of the dread that he was in, he didn't remember if he made the bracha before the, he couldn't remember, recall if he made the bracha ala mila as a moil before this. And he sat down, and his gabbai brought him a cup of tea, and he just didn't drink it. The tea turned cold, so the gabbai went and brought him another cup of tea. And finally, the gabbai said, "No, Rebbe, drink something." And he said, "How can you drink when you see someone, after you see someone who serves God with such love and fear?" Anyways, the Malach stayed in Fastiv, and then they decided that they want to bring the family over. It was before Yom Kippur. It was Aseres Yemei Teshuva time. They should bring the family, his wife, and he had two sons, to bring them over, two little children, to move to Fastiv where his father is. I mean, we're there with a husband and father. But she had a dream. It was during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. She had a dream that her father-in-law, the Magid, came to her and told her not to come. So she said that she can't come. So meanwhile, they started putting a lot of pressure on her that she should come. They went to Reb Zusha of Anapoli, and that Reb Zusha should influence her to go. But Bishrum Leif, she didn't say why, but she says, "I'm not going." And okay, meanwhile, that Yom Kippur, the Malach became very, very ill. He was only 36 years old, 37, something like that. Very ill, to the point that by Ne'ila, he couldn't speak anymore. And then 2 days later, the Malach passed away at 36. So she realized that the Magid had come to her not, so she shouldn't have to see the pain of her husband being suddenly sick like this and passing away. So she'd be spared from that. She had two sons. Oh, and by the way, so he's buried. The Rav Malach is buried in Fastiv. There's an amazing story. There were two great students of the Magid. One was named Rabbi Yisrael Politzker, and the other one was named Rabbi Israel of Politzk. Two great students of the Magid. And they would travel together as a team together. One was an incredible Baal Tefillah, and the other one was a Baal Darshan. And what would happen is, one would go to the Yamad, Rabbi Israel would go to the Yamad, and he would daven, and he would start singing, and he would open up everybody's hearts. Then Rabbi Yisrael Politzker would get up, and he would give chassidus, and he would warm this. And this is how they lifted up, and they changed entire communities. And they traveled from together for a while. Then they came back to Mezrich. They stayed there for 2 years. During that time, the Magid passed away. Reb and Rabbi Yisrael went back. They went back to their cities. when Ramendolo of Vitebsk, one of the great, and Rabbi Avram of Kalisk and the other Hasidim went up to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Politzke was the third one who joined this Chabura going up to Eretz Yisrael. When he came there, he was there for a while, but then they sent him, he became the first one to be the Gabai Tzedakah to collect money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So he came back to the Ukraine, to Poland, to there, to Volyn, to collect money. He passed by the city of Fastiv. And when he was there, Rabbi Avram the Malach appeared to him. And it says, it's not clear in the story if he appeared to him when he was a Bahakitz or in a dream. And Rabbi Avram Malach said, I want you to be my neighbor. So the Yisrael of Polotsk didn't know what to do, because he knew what it means. If he wants him to be his neighbor, it means that he wants him to die now and stay around over here, be buried next to him. So he, not knowing what to do, he says he has to go to ask Reb Zusha. So he traveled to Anapoli, and he came to Reb Zusha, and he told him that the Malach wants him next to him. So Reb Zusha said, B'shum Oifen, don't do it. What's going to be with all the Yidden that you're taking care of? You're supporting the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. They made you the Shadar. You're the one collecting. What's going to be with them? He needs a Chavrus over here. And all these people are not going to... Don't do it. Tell him no. So he told him no. So he appeared to him a second time. And he said, I want you as... So he comes back to the Bzusha and he says, he came a second time. So the Bzusha said, tell him absolutely no. So he told him no. And he came to him a third time. So he comes to the Bzusha and he says, he came three times. He says, no, if he came three times, it's not a derech eretz that when the son of our Rebbe came and asked something that we should deny his request for three times. So Rabbi Yisrael went back to Fastiv, and he passed away. And if you go to Fastiv, you have taka the two of them buried, one next to each other. But when Rabbi Avram HaMalach passed away, going back to the Malach, he left two children. One of them, his name was Reb Sholem, of Pravich. Shalom of Pravich is the father of the Ruzhiner. The Malach is the Ruzhiner, was a grandson of the Magid, of the Zuchar Magid, Rav Ram the Malach, Rav Shalom of Pravich. When he was a little boy, being that his father passed away so young, Rav Shlomo of Karlin raised him and his brother. They were raised by Rav Shlomo of Karlin. And when he came a little, we got a little older, in a marriageable age, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Chayisara, Rav Shlomo of Karlin sent two shluchim with this. Not with the boy, just sent two shluchim for the cause of a shidduch for his anakel. They should go out and search. But he warned them, when you pass by the city of Pravich, which was where Rav Nachum of Chernobyl was before he went to Chernobyl, he lived in Pravich. We actually went to Pravich. That's where the Shalom of Pravich is buried. He says, when you pass by the city of Pravich, you should make sure that b'shum oifin you don't stop in that city. You should race through the city, but don't stop. Good, they got instructions. Well, Tzalachis, they were arriving close to Pravich. They had to pass by that place. He said, you're going to pass through, because I knew their route, where they're going. He said, they arrived, and it was close to Shabbos. But they had a tzava from him. So they did whatever they can to make the horses gallop like crazy past, so they shouldn't get stuck there on Shabbos. And they should be able to continue and get somewhere else. And that's what happened. They passed through the city very swiftly. And they passed. Meanwhile, Rav Nachum was having his Erev Shabbos nap. As we know, Tzadikim would fall asleep, not go to sleep, but fall asleep on Erev Shabbos. Because Erev Shabbos Lamaila is a Zman of Shina, it's a Zman of Dermuta, it's a time of sleep. While he was sleeping, Rav Nachum of Chernobyl had a dream. And in his dream it said, now is the time that you should do a Shidduch with your Einikel. Rav Nachum had three children, Ramatel of Chernobyl, Rav Moshe, and he had a daughter, her name was Malka, who married this Reb Avram. I forgot what his thing was. And this Reb Avram had a daughter, Chava, I think her name is. He says, now is the time that you should make a shidduch for your daughter with the einikel of your Rebbe, the Magid. So he woke up, and in the dream, the shidduch was done. They had a lechayim, and the shidduch was done. And he woke up, and he asked immediately, is there a guest in the city? He told him, no one arrived. He said, no, someone, is there anybody here? They set up his outside. There was a commotion before. A wagon came riding through like crazy at enormous speed. So he said that they should give chase after it. So they chased after this wagon, and they got, and they caught up, and they begged, and they begged, and they begged. They said that Rav Nachum is begging that you should come back. Come back. So they reluctantly returned. And when they came, and Rav Nachum told them that, I know you're looking for a shidduch. I have an einikel. and let's they realized that the fact that he knew all of this was probably Menashe Shemayim, so they agreed to the Shidduch. Then when they came back to Rav Shloimeh of Karlin, Rav Shloimeh of Karlin was happy with the outcome. I guess there was there had to be an Indian of a Ratzei Veshuv over there, attention, yeah, go catch a fish. So Rav Shalom of Pravich then became the Enakel of Rav Nachum of Chernobyl, and he's the father of the Ruzhiner, and that's the father of the Ruzhiner dynasty. An amazing teaching that I saw from Rav Nachum. That he writes that Parshas Yisro, he writes that the keli, the vessel in which one can needs in order for him to perceive the Torah, to be able to connect to the Torah, is Yiras Hashem. He needs fear of the Eibishter, and that's the keli. And without that, there's no good. He says because the Eibishter is ki eish Hashem alakecho eish oichlehu. Hashem is a blazing fire compared to a fire, consuming fire. And he says, just like you can't pick up fire just with your hands, you need to have a keli, you need a machta. The Gemara talks in Masechta Siyuma all about the machta. The Kohen Gadol used, or the Kohen every day, they use the machta. You can't take coals with your hands. You have to have a fire pan. A fire pan. In Yiddish, getached, a fire pan. What was the Taich? I remember. But that was a fire they used to use. So he says, if people learn Torah without Yerushalayim, he says, then it literally burns their brains. And it burns everything up that they're not shayach to have any sense of elokus, of because the fabrenz they completely. They don't even realize that it burnt out the neshama, that they don't have what's necessary now to be able to have an understanding of getlachkeit and so on, to be able to perceive it, because they're taking the Torah without the keli and the kelizim. Another thing Rav Nachum says, he says, anybody that has a chush hareach, anybody that didn't ruin his power of scent and smell, and he has open, and he doesn't have any gashmiyastiga eyes, and has a ruchniyastiga, can literally see and smell that money in which the person the does not give the tzedakah that you're supposed to give from. He says it's pashit masriach. He says the money literally is a stench, and not only that, it's like full of decay. He says you can see it. You can see that it's molding, and it's money that not tzedakah is not given the way they're supposed to. So the Yesodus of Chassidus, of Avos Yisroel, of complete Ibigi Gebenkeit, of Bittel, of Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth, these are all so deeply embedded. It's interesting, Rav Nachum, in the end of his life, became very ill, and he needed to spend a lot of money. He was a blitiga areman all of his life, but in the end of his life, he needed a lot of money for his refuas. He needed healing and things. He didn't have any money. He sends and his chassidim weren't used to giving because he never asked, and he bechla was so eckled from geld that he didn't. He wasn't like, so he felt helpless. He couldn't even raise the funds. So he asked. He sent a letter to the Alter Rebbe to help him out. So one of the in the Geras HaKodesh of the Alter Rebbe, there's a letter in which the Alter Rebbe writes to the people, he does a fundraising campaign for Rav Nachum of Chernobyl. He says that he's in Yisurim and he needs our help. And he writes Toyarim, unbelievable. He says unbelievable descriptions he writes about him. And he signs himself, first of all, he says, Loi Dumiya Tehillah, to him about Rav Nachum, silence is praise. And he says, he concludes, like Avdecha, something. No, that's not a letter that he writes to him. That's the letter that he writes to the people. And then a few years later, he writes a letter to Rav Nachum that Rav Nachum should help him raise funds for Eretz Yisrael. So again, he was raising funds for Rav Nachum when Rav Nachum needed it. Then he writes him a letter that he should help with. He should write to his chassidim that there should be ma'oyer them for this. And there he signs Avdecha, like very not a lashon that he would write regularly to him. It's very, very special. Now, there's a story that's told that when the Alter Rebbe was going to jail, he dispatched a shliach to Rav Nachum of Chernobyl, And he opened, and the shliach came, and he forgot the name. And the Reb Nachum, oh, so I always thought this. I heard it a few times from Reb Nachum, but it's Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. And the reason I saw that because then I realized that Reb Nachum passed away already in Tovkuf Nun Ches. The arrest of the Alter Rebbe happened in Tovkuf Nun Tes, the year 1799. So when he came, so the story, that's where I realized that the story, then I looked it up. The story has to be from the Berditchever, not from Reb Nachum. Because Reb Nachum wasn't alive at that time. Yeah, Shever ben Mitzrayim. Shever is Rosh Hatevis, Shneir ben Rivka. He opened up a Chumash, and he's opened up, and Yeshever ben Mitzrayim, Shneir ben Rivka. Zeuze. Yeah. I think that's all I know. Wow. I don't think I know anything.
There's plenty to know. Don't worry.
Things I read. Oh yeah, one more thing. I mentioned that Reb Nachum had a son. His name was Reb Moshe. Passed away very young. And besides that, he had Ramatul of Chernobyl. Ramatul of Chernobyl had children that were the biggest tzaddikim, spread out all over. One was the Triska Magid. The other one was Reb David Dol Tolner. The other one was Reb Aaron of Chernobyl. And Reb Yitzchak of Skver. Reb Yochanan, I think, of Rachmas Trif. They were like six of them. They were giants. And but Reb Moshe, Reb Zusha once came to visit Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, and he walked into a room and he saw Reb Moshe, the son of Reb Nachum, learning. So Reb Zusha said to him that the Beis Yosef, Reb Yosef Kaira, just promised, I don't know if he promised to him, that if a person will, with this upcoming year, diligently study his Pirush on tour, the entire Beis Yosef, and study it like very diligently, basmada, and go through the entire four chalakim of tour with the Beis Yosef, he'll be zeicha to Gilui Eliyahu. So this Reb Moshe heard it, and Reb Moshe heard the story, this thing. And he makabel on himself to learn, and that year he learned the entire Torah and the Siyasif. And he was Zeicha Gilui Eliyahu. Not the story is exactly Zeicha, but he had Eliyahu on him. It was a promise from the Siyasif. And this is what the Reb Zusha came and related to him. The Inyan Le'inyan, not with Reb Nachum, but I saw today the story that there was the Alter Rebbe once needed a lot of money for something, and he called in one of his chassidim, a wealthy yid. And he asked him, and the person took out his wallet, and he gave it to the Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, take whatever you want. The Alter Rebbe had such a spiralus from this that he said, you ask me whatever you want. Wow. From his chassid, just giving him the whole wallet, and saying anything. He said, ask me anything you want. He didn't know what to ask. So he left the room, and he asked the Mittler Rebbe. What should I ask? He said, go find out when the Alter Rebbe saw the Arizal. Because I know he saw the Arizal, but we're not going to ask him when.
Right.
Go find out when he saw the Arizal. So he came inside and he asked the Alter Rebbe, when did you see the Arizal? And the Alter Rebbe said, I know this is my bed in you. This is not your own idea. This is my son. But I told you anything you want to ask, I'll tell you. He says, one time we were sitting by the Magid, and the Magid was saying Torah. And you know, with me was Rebbe Melech of Lezensk, I think Reb Zusha, and who else he mentions, a third one, I don't remember who it was, maybe the Berditchev, I'm not sure. I don't think it was the Berditchev, it was someone, Reb Zevel Zutamer, I'm not sure, there were three of them that were there. And he says, and they were mamish in a state of Dveikus in the Olam HaSal Yadim. When he was saying Torah, they were somewhere else. I made sure to stay down here.
Right.
And I realized that the Magid suddenly asked his Mishardis to quickly bring a chair.
Right.
And a person walked in, a young man with a red beard, and the Magid told him to sit. And the Magid started saying, Torah, the thing of Shtikl from the Arizal, of Eitz Chaim from the Arizal. And this young man that was sitting there was shaking with his head. And then the Magid got up and he walked him to the door. And he left. He says, no one else realized it because they were all somewhere up there. But he witnessed it. The Arizal came to the Magid, yeah.